Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we often sing that truth that all things are possible now that you're here, and we recognize it's in the context of your own essentiality and what you have in mind, what you're going to perform, and those all things are written in your word, and furthermore, we are all things to you, and we trust this morning that you're all things to us so that we are really one in the understanding of this hour, that you have truly come down, as Brother Branham said, the same as in the Garden of Eden, when your precious son and daughter had fallen into sin, you didn't send an archangel or cherubim or some delegation or host, but you yourself came down, and so today we have the same understanding with the Book of Redemption open and the Tree of Life before us, immortality standing here, the graves ready to open, the dead coming forth, those in their spirit bodies, their word bodies, ready to come and pick up those forms which come from the dust by the creative voice of Almighty God. These things, Lord, we know are here, and this is the propitious hour. This is truth, Lord. Help us to realize that and then walk in that light as you're in the light, having fellowship one another, but in Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing us. Quicken us to this end, Lord, we pray, because that is our true heart's desire when everything is said and done. This is what we will settle for. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now this morning we're on number 10, the spoken word is original seed. And I want to start by reading my notes to catch us up and enter fluidly, easily as we can, into reading where we left off. Now, what we have seen up to and including page 19 is that Brother Branham has used the continuity of nature and the using of nature to its own disadvantage, namely a hybridization. Now, let me explain what I'm saying. Brother Branham said you can always tell God in nature by the continuity. But we also know that God gave man the ability to control nature in the sense he gave them dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and such as that, but not over the moon, not over the stars, not over the planets. So man is intruding again. Not only has man hybridized and continually is trying to work contrary to what God laid down, and you can understand if one word chewed off a course, if there was disobedience back there, and as Paul himself said, there's three things wrong with you, what must be the condition of this hour? And remember, Brother Branham is bringing us up to the condition of this hour by taking us back to the original seed, see how far we've come from it, so that the human race actually ends up in a percentage case, as the eight souls made the ark, so we have a percentage of roughly the same. And as the Sodom and Gomorrah conditions were, we have them already. This is the only promise that Mr. Clinton has kept. Homosexuals, lesbians are free. They can take over, they can run you, and they can run me, and there's nothing we can do because the government says so. So therefore, the government has butted into the church, and the church will retaliate. It'll do it under the Pope. Then let's see how smart the government is. They asked for it. We're going to be out of here. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me read again now to catch you up what I'm saying. What we have seen up to and including page 19 is that Brother Branham has used the continuity of nature and the using of nature to its own disadvantage. See? Namely, hybridizing, to show how God's human race, which was to become the population of the kingdom of God, which population was called sons of God, bride of Christ, and church of God, ends up in Revelations chapter 20 to chapter 22. You can read it for yourself, but you know pretty well what's in it. As a very elect group in the New Jerusalem, that's how it ends up, and as another lesser elect group outside the city called the nations, who would do according to Revelation 21, 22 to 27, while the bride would appear in and perform, according to Revelation 21, 9, 11, 22, 1 to 3, while the third group is found in Revelation 20, 15, and is destroyed in the lake of fire, according to Matthew 25. Okay. Let's go to Revelation 21. (clears throat) 22 to 27. Now I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city has no need of sun, neither of moon to shine, for the glory of God did lighten it. The Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are safe shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their honor and glory into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, 22:1-3, he showed me a river, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, neither side of the river, was there a tree of life which bare 12 manner fruits, and that yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were the healing of the nation. Now that's those outside, because that's the nation inside the bride. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Now, what you're looking at here is the two groups of the wise and the foolish virgin. But over in Revelation chapter 20, and you know the story here of the 1,000 years loosed, Gog and Magog, all the armies of the devil, everything comes up upon the earth. The devil deceived and was cast in the lake of fire, the false prophet there too. A great white throne is set, and in the great white throne, you'll notice that all the rest that aren't mentioned otherwise are brought up here. This is your second or general resurrection. And out of that general resurrection come forth the foolish virgin who are allowed eternal life who previously did not have it. Now, the rest are thrown to the lake of fire. This is the second death. All right. This God-human race started in Eden and fell in Eden by Eve cohabiting with the serpent, the beast, and injecting into the field or husbandry of God an hybridized race called tares, according to Matthew 13. This Eve was the mother of all living. All those who are found in Revelation 20 to 22, wise, foolish, perverts, serpent seed, tares. She's the mother of the whole shebang. That's why we're told that New Jerusalem is our mother. We're told that the false church is that which was of Hagar, who does not have the husband, but is desolate. And remember, the harlot church at the end time says, I am no widow, but I am a queen. I'm the wife of the king. I'm running things. You understand what we're talking about? But Adam was not the father of all, only the wise and the foolish virgin. And remember, both of these wise and foolish virgins, that there was only one difference according to Brother Branham. He said they were both virgins, therefore they were of the same bolt of cloth upon which the master laid out the pattern and cut the pattern with the very elect separated from the elect. One becomes the bride. One, and they're going to be like, could be billions, will be out there as nations, bringing their glory into the King of Kings and his bride, with those that are called the the virgins, which are eunuchs, which attend the bride, and the groom, the Lamb upon the throne, with the pillar of fire above the throne, the holy city giving light to all the world, and these others bringing their glory in. But those that were serpent seed made to be taken and destroyed are destroyed. Now, Brother Branham categorically said that the foolish virgin was a remnant. And you will notice they are classified with those who go into the great tribulation. So you can see they are the ones who have added to the word and not taken from it. That to me is plain as ABC. You don't find Brother Branham saying it. But I am taking it from what he taught and going to the scripture. And this has puzzled me for years to understand why there are those who, adding a word, get the plagues added and the great tribulation. That would be the foolish virgin. Why would it be that the others would have their names taken out of the book of life because they took away from the word? Now that opens the door as to why you can see the foolish virgin at the end time is classified and is amongst the dogs, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the murderers, and those that tell and love a lie. And they will be destroyed. They'll be hunted down and destroyed by the wicked harlot church. And you notice all those in that wicked harlot church have completely misdivided the word, and in misdividing the word, you cannot help but take and add. So therefore, they get all the plagues, and then they go into the great tribulation, and then they face the lake of fire, which Brother Branham could last for aeons and aeons, according to how God sets forth the punishment according to works. Now, I hope you listen to what I was saying. Because I have preached many, many times on a very simple thing. And I'm amazed that I could teach to a crowd of people that are in the world. And those that claim to believe this message have no more idea what I'm saying than nothing. That's why I spoke as harsh as I did last night. And if you want to meet with me, the men, all over 21 years of age that belong here, you come and sit with me and I'll lay the whole thing up before you. And show you what I am going through and why I speak thusly and why I stand up for the word. Remember, a Christian doesn't have to let everybody walk all over him, said the prophet of God. Amen? Amen. Neither do you stand up against the fivefold ministry that has proven himself dedicated and come to me and say, you're wrong, which means only one thing, they're right. Now you listen to me. That's organization. I'll be here at dismissal. I have a letter in a man's own handwriting. I have excerpts from my tape. And you'll understand why Lee Dale acts unilaterally when it comes to his message. Not threatening anybody, but letting you know this flat. As you well know, I'm not threatening, I'm not angry with you people sitting here by any stretch of the imagination, but I can walk out of here tomorrow, tonight, and take my ministry with me. And yet you said you wanted it. Now you're going to have your choice. Just ABC. From the highest to the lowest, there's no compromise. I'm not giving in for 5 minutes, or it means I'm under dominion of two men. They've tried this 3 times in a row. This is the 3rd time, and according to my Bible, it says reject, and have nothing more to do with it. You do what you want. I'm going to do what I want. And if we bump heads, you couldn't hurt me if you tried. Because I take my telephone hookup with me. And I minister to the people I've ministered for years. This is not a threat. I'm not trying to browbeat anybody to listen to me. I'm just telling you the plain facts. And if you can't get plain facts, I'm going to be terribly sorry for you. And I'll be very sorry in the light of the fact there's a young gentleman that sits here who understands perfectly what I said and knows exactly how to wait for God to show it to him till it's all matched up. And he, according to the estimate of years of the other men, would be a young lad, not even dry behind the ears, Yeah. He knows what they don't even begin to know. That's the strangest thing in all the world. That is, this time, people in this church ought to be teachers. That literally follow me as I go from scripture to scripture. Because Brother Branham used very few scriptures. Where are we in the face of maturity? And remember, that which is perfect has come as a perfect vindicated message. And anybody outside of that lacks the perfection. It matters not what your works are or your deeds are. It matters according to your revealed faith, or you will never have a deed that you can put your finger on and present to God. Now, if I have to talk tough, I talk tough, but I'm simply... Hey, look. You're not going to leave my ministry sitting in doubt. I don't speak in riddles. I don't concoct little fables and things and try to make something of it. I preach word for word. Now, last night, I know I was pretty rough. You could tell by the tone of my voice, if you have any understanding at all, that I vaunted myself and my ability as a gifted teacher to bring out those things which I challenge anybody here hearing me last night. And I laid a $50,000 bet before three men that I would bring out last night what I brought out they didn't even have a clue to, which I brought out. Have you got the guts to raise your hand and say, Brother Dale, I studied that and I knew ahead of you? No laughing matter. This is what's going on. Now, when I act unilaterally, it means that I am talking to Lee Vail, Grace Gospel Ministries, which is Lee Vail. The prophet said, you're just like me. You don't have to live in any special place. Where you go, your ministry goes. So when I was harsh last night, perhaps I overdid it. I don't doubt for one minute that I did. But I got news for you. There's men sitting right here this morning who had done 10 times worse, maybe double. How would you have thought, Pete? Do you think I was extra tender, extra rough? See, I can call on Pete and he can lay this thing out. 1, 2, 3, 4, and back me up like $100 bill. Now, Pete and I may bump heads at times, which is perfectly legal, but we're good friends. And I will say this. I've known Pete Clausen long enough that even he's bold-headed and dogmatic, looks you right in the eye and says, I don't like you, which he never did. He never tells a lie. I challenge any man to tell me they caught Pete Clausen in a lie. All right. What I preached last night, I preached, I believe, 100% according to what the prophet taught. I make no apologies for it. I've explained it thoroughly and showed you where Brother Branham said it started in the garden. The wise and the foolish virgin both make it in the kingdom of Almighty God. Right? One comes in by the very election. The next one comes in also by election. The others were entirely outside, and their names are only mentioned on the grounds of being in the lineage of the human race, so-called now the admixture. And there's no way you can get it out of this. Same as Judas. Absolutely, his name was in the book of life, but he was ordained to be the betrayer. Yes, he was ordained. And Jesus said, one of you is Diabolus. So what you can see is, as taught in the church age, is the perfect concept that started out as lamb life. And from there went the hybridizer, Eve, out of the original creation. And Brother Branham said God placed her there because it was not complementary or becoming to God to have a son who would fall. Now, the Bible distinctly tells that Adam did fall. There's two statements concerning it. If you want to know where they are, it's over here in the book of Romans, the 5th chapter. And it says, verse 12, whereas one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, which is the figure of him that was to come. Did you read it with me? Listen. That had not sinned after the similitude, the likeness of Adam's transgression. Adam is the figure of him that was to come. The first Adam, the second Adam. The first man, the last man. We're looking at it. Now, we go to the book of Timothy. And in the second chapter, I think 1 Timothy, we read 11. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression. See? Now listen. It tells you. Adam was not deceived. But the woman was deceived. And it does not place Adam in this transgression, but it places him in his own transgression. And when he entered into it, the whole human race fell. We find that Brother Branham said Adam went out of place. He took her to his bosom as his wife, and he became her savior. The same as when Sarah laughed behind the back of God when she was in the tent and she chuckled. It was a kind of a hearty, mirthful chuckling because she had two things in mind, and you know what they were. And God said, why did Sarah laugh? She got scared. She said, but I didn't laugh. No, but you did. Brother Branham said God would have killed her right there, except she was a part of Abraham. The man is responsible for the woman and stands in her stead. No female can do it. Then how could Christ be female or the Spirit of God be female, according to what people are trying to tell me? So here you see here what we are looking at. We are looking at the very beginnings of what we see going on today. Where Brother Branham told us positively there'll be no history written, but the people are being lined up and doomed for cannon fodder or atomic bomb fodder. And then at the end of the tribulation, the fire of God comes as a flood came. So, we're going to read it. Hybridizing, that's at the bottom, page 19, if you have the same book I've got. Hybridizing first started in Eden, starting in Genesis. And it did. It started, first of all, with a woman that God made could fall, then enticed the husband, it began in Genesis, it's the beginning, and it ends up over here in Revelation. That's the second coming of Christ. It ends at the second coming. What is he telling you? It's at that time the whole scene upon earth, per se, is finished, because at the second coming, and we meet him in the second coming, and a part of that is the 3.5-year marriage supper, and at the same time the bride left in the chamber, as Joseph left his bride in the chamber, makes himself known to the brethren, which are 144,000 that get sealed under Moses and Elijah, who being prophets must be put to death. And they raise after about 3 days and are caught up. And everybody just stands around and says, well, ain't that amazing? What happened to the body? He said, Brother Bailey, you trying to tell me people can be that hard? I'm not only trying to tell you, I am telling you, and I'm only trying if you are too dense spiritually to get it. These are natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. Unless something happens to our grandchild and our great-grandchildren, I see nothing but that. Say, Brother Bale, you're judging. Listen, how far do I have to go to let you know I'm preaching the Bible by vindicated prophet? Are you so blind as to think your thinking is going to have something to do with it? You got one hope to apply that token. Now, nobody can apply the Holy Ghost, let's face it. But you've got power to have that word in your home, in your life, and bring that to your children to see if God will anoint it or if they'll go there into sin. That's exactly where we're at today. Now remember correctly, that's why each generation has its own revival. It gets a chance at the word. Now, okay, Lloyd, you're the goat, the whipping boy. Will you please read after the colon, where it says correctly, will you please read to the people what I just read? No, the one above it, where the colon is, after the word correctly, read that phrase.
That's why each generation has its own revival.
Has its own what? What? Now, you people looking for the great revival to come. Are you getting the question answered? Gary Keller. Where's Gary? Thank you. Gary Keller talked to me some months ago. He brought up the question, Brother Bale, I don't feel all enthused. I seem to have lost something. At that time, Gary, I could not quote you because I forgot that a young man had come to Brother Branham and complained. He said, son, the revival's over. Now, what is a revival? A revival means to quicken that which is lying there in a state that's comatose, not dead now, not simply to bring back to life, although that could be applied, or to bring to life. I ask you a question. Has this word been brought to life and into manifestation in this hour? How many says yes? All right. Then you have your revival. People are trying to say the bride hasn't had a revival. That's why the statement's easily made, if this is not it, I'll wait for what's down the road and I'll grab it. You'll grab a hot tomato, kid, or a hot brick. And you'll have something like the possum who puts his little, not the possum, it's a raccoon, that puts his little old paw on the bottle where there's a silver coin, and he's fool enough, he simply can't let his fist go loose, so he's rumping around the bottom. Trapped by what you're grabbing. Now, the point is, have you had a revival? I'm asking you. If you've had it, what are you looking for? What you already got? Because the Bible said, when a man sees, what did he hope for? So, Brother Bill, I want that good, happy feeling. I want that good, happy feeling. Let me tell you what the psychologist said. You are just as happy as you want to be. And my Bible said, all these things come to pass, lift up your heads and rejoice. Every generation has its own revival. Now, if you mean a revival where the church gets all happy and gushy and gooey, I've seen it. I saw it down in Hobe Sound in Florida with the Methodists. We went there to see them. And they were, and the husband would confess his sins and cry and fall on his wife's neck and apologize. And she would receive it and cry and fall on his neck and apologize. Everybody was doing it. But when it came to the fact of receiving a vindicated prophet, fooey to the prophet. And who cares about his God? Because we're Trinitarians. The one God doesn't take us, we've got two more to fall back on, bless God. The same people had a so-called revival in the Branham people. And told how the people got up and everybody confessed his sins. 100% off the Word of God. Can't find it in the Scripture. All they do is cause problems. And the great revival that they thought they had turned into leaving this message. And I know two churches that went exactly that way, and perhaps another one will come to my mind. That's why I said, if any time you want to do something around like that, we just close the church and close it right down. Revival. It has its own, that word is understood in the sense of the fundamentalist, but it's not understood in the sense of those who have a true revelation from William Branham, vindicated prophet of God. Notice it says it gets a chance at the word. What is revival? It gets a chance. And that's all it is to us, like a lottery. The most people just hope to. I keep telling you, in the presence of Almighty God, which is that one who went to the Garden of Eden, is here now. And that is merely a doctrine like serpent seed. Those churches don't have a clue to what I am preaching. And the people don't. And there's no reverence for the Word of God. Say what you want. Now what happens? With those who have the chance at the Word and do not take it, but the elect always do. They hear the eagle scream. They receive their direction. They receive the attunement to God from the atonement, the Spirit answering to the blood, and they know who they are, the sheep that hear the voice and follow. Now it says the rest hybridize it. Instead of taking on, that's going on with the Word, they go somewhere else. And now Brother Branham is speaking to you and me, to the Branham people. Now listen. My mission, and I believe that God has called me for this mission. I've got to say some personal things today because that's what I told you I do see. But my mission to tell the world. What is my mission? My mission, I believe, to the earth is what? Is to forerun the coming Word, see? The coming Word, which is Christ. And Christ in Him has the millennium and everything right there because He is the Word. What did Brother Branham say to the seventh seal? He said, time has already blended with eternity. The ushering of the millennium has come. So what are we looking at? I could be wrong here, but my estimation, knowing Brother Branham preaching his own vindication, which is absolutely undisputed, showing us a position as Elijah, which was for to come. He is telling us what he told us concerning Revelation 10 and 1, that when Revelation 10 and 1 came down, Revelation 10 and 7 was already here on the earth, which was the Word coming to the prophet. Because Revelation 10 and 1 is Elohim, and Revelation 10 and 7 is William Branham, prophet of God. And at that time, that Roman candle, the seventh seal, which reveals all the thunders, takes off and begins moving to the millennium, to the marriage supper, bypassing the tribulation, moving to the white throne, moving to some place where God puts her until the heavens and earth are made anew, and moving her down again, and then watching that moving. It's already starting. This is what I understand here. I could also understand the literal second coming of Jesus Christ when he comes upon this earth to set up the millennium, because in him is that. But if it is not in him now, the Christ that William Branham preached in his presence, it's not going to be over there. Why? Because the Spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us. We'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that same Spirit has brought us the word, which is the shout and the voice, which is going to bring forth the resurrection, and the trumpet, which will bring forth our assembling and catching up. As we immortal here, every single one of us in his glory shall shine in the same body as Jesus Christ, but not with all his attributes, just with those that are commensurate to us and granted by God. And there will crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that will be the Son of God, the Son of Man, and the Son of David. That will be Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the altogether lovely, the all in and all. Now that's the supreme deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to ask you one thing. If we are there at that crowning, will we be there for any other reason that we are a part of God? And the answer is no. Then there'll be 7 million gods? I've been told that the Church Age book doesn't line up with the Becoming God, which I preached on pages 4-8. Remember what I preached on the Becoming God? Went back to the beginning. I can't understand you could sit here for years and not understand what I'm saying. I could have a demonstration. I could have my whipping boy stand up with his son. And I could ask Caleb, are you your father? To know. But I'm the life of my father through the bedding grounds of my mother and holy matrimony. I was in him, for he's my natural progenitor. As he came from a long list from Adam, who came from God, the God that breathed into the breath of lives, and he became a living soul. Do you follow me? Now, come on. I'm supposed to be a teacher. If you're a pupil, you're adept to listening and comprehending, or I'm wasting my time. Can you believe a man who said he followed this message and knows it better than I do? Because his father put roses in his hair. Right, Pete? Do you? Can't understand what I'm saying? That I'm denying Godhead and making two gods because, hey, there's two eternal people here. Just a minute. Did I not tell you many times that Michelangelo that carved David, and they said, oh, and they exclaimed, and he said, listen, he was always in there. I just loosed him. Accused of teaching two gods? Again, I want to ask you, if you believe you're a child of God, is there a part of God in you? Come on, don't be gutless. Raise your hands. Come on. All right. Don't want to get angry? I may not be here for a long time. I don't want to leave this place in anger. Ashamed of him, said Brother Branham. It's ashamed of his word. You know one way I'm ashamed of Jesus? I'm not ashamed of him. I'm ashamed of myself that I belong to him. And I'm such a puked up individual to be his representative. But ashamed in his word, I love it. It's life. It's life to one and death to the other. You know what the sun can do? It can make you healthier, give you skin cancer, and kill you. You know what the ultraviolet light can do? Make your eyes better, everything else, give you health, or it can kill you. Right. You need ozone. But I could put you in a tub of ozone and just turn it on you, oxygen, you'd eventually burn up. Hope you get my point now. Everything is in him. He was a man with a message. And the message of the messenger could only come at the time of the descent of the one who was to give the message to the messenger who'd give it to us. That's a prophet, right? And he has to be on earth fully predestinated, elected, based upon foreknowledge, to be that one. All right, Jesus said in John 3 and 5. Now, if you want to mark it down, I'll read it here in John 3, 5, and here I go. Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That's right. There's no revelation. No revelation. Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born and he is old? Can he enter the second time his mother's womb be born?" Now, according to John Wesley, Nicodemus blew it. Why did Nicodemus blow it? Because according to the Hebrew tradition, which was practiced, when a Gentile wanted to become a Hebrew, he was fully immersed in water, signifying he died to being a Gentile and rose to be an Israelite. So Nicodemus should have known. Does John Wesley have a foot to stand on? Certainly. Because Jesus said, "Art thou master in Israel and don't know this?" All right. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water." Now Nicodemus should surely understand that. And of spirit, and you surely understand that, because if the old geezer died and was buried, he better have a new one inside as he comes up, or he's still the old man. Yeah? Well, how can he be an Israelite? Going to have new genes, new everything. Try to know that God does that. Well, I do. You have trouble with God? I don't have any trouble. The only trouble I have with God is he doesn't smack me over the head and kick me around until I smarten up. But he doesn't correct people that way. Now, he said, "Is that a seed?" What just spoken here in John. Every spoken word of God is a seed. That's right. I'm going to prove that in just a minute where Jesus said so. Every spoken word of God is a seed. Then expect a man be born again. Why must he be born again? He's dead in the flesh that he's in. Now, he's in a vessel that must perish. And he himself is dead, which means separation from God. Brother Branham was using the fundamentalist interpretation or definition. Why not? It was true. He only corrected the errors. He didn't say, "I want to tell you people something. Every single man that came before me, that is, that followed the Apostle Paul, hey, and I want to tell you, all those guys made such errors, I'm going to correct them all." Hogwash. They had truth. But they didn't have the full planopy, the plenary, the fullness. The last day legitimate. William Branham brings it to us. Having corrected the errors, we're right back to the Apostle Paul. Huh? Okay. We got time. We're not going anywhere. Time's up. We'll quit. Where do I want to go? Oh, yeah. 2 Thessalonians. First chapter. Now remember what Paul says here at the time of the descent. It says, verse 10, when he shall have come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. The day when he comes, the testimony, the gospel of Paul, which was defiled in 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, proven to be so in the book of Revelations, positively must come back the way Paul said it. Now, let's go over here to 2 Thessalonians. And it says in verse, I could read above that, but I won't bother. Verse 8, that wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and joy of the brightness of the coming. That's when he comes down here on earth. Whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. And what's it going to do? Take people right away from the gospel, just like Deuteronomy 13 said so. Why? Because Deuteronomy 18 has already come to pass. The truth. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Now that's got to be the word of God perverted. And them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now what was the truth that saved them? Paul's legitimate, unhampered, unmeddled with, thus saith the Lord. Now you can say what you want, but that's the truth. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, they should believe the lie. The same as told you, Eve, you will not die. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth. But had pleasure not in what Paul said and vindicated today to be the truth, which is the same word that Paul had. As Brother Branham said, just think how wonderful. The same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. They turn it down. And they love not the truth. What do they love? Their own perversion whereby they worship and serve God. So called. They have pleasure in the evil deed of Cain, who had misdivided the word, flaunted it back in God's face, and said, I'll worship any way I want. Now, do you know there's another group of people outside the Pope and the Catholics who have already admitted to the presence of God? I wish I'd have ripped it out of the magazine and brought it to you. But then sometimes I forget or rip it out and they don't know where I put it. But now there's others that believe it. Oh, it's caught on. And those that say, we believe the prophet, little pipsqueak can go to New Zealand and make snide, sniping remarks at the presence. When Brother Branham is speaking to those preachers in the showdown in Chicago, he laid his Bible open and he said, come and stand before me, with me, and take the word, you Trinitarians. Not a person moved. And on the tape, you'll hear him say, well, you're smarter than I thought you were. When he talked to me, he said, Lee, I didn't think they were that smart. They were smart enough because the first man that came, they'd have carried out feet first because the pillar of fire hung there. Well, presence. Looks like serpent seed doctrine. I'm even wrong at even mimicking before that picture. That's how sacred the presence is. But these people don't have any idea. They'll think they're the young ones that are going in. I got news for you. If you don't spit on my God and get away with it, you don't even lightly speak of his servants and those that try to serve him and get away with it. Your business what you do. He's hybrid. He's got to be born again. Why? He was born in sin from Eve's sin. Shaped in iniquity. Coming of the world speaking lies. Now you can see where you're at. With the condition we're in. Adam, the legitimate son of God. With Eve should be raising up children unto God. And the whole world is one hodgepodge of sin, one lump of clay, and it's all mixed together. And you got to be born again. Now, if I went back to the time of Seth, and I went back to the time of Abel, I would simply have a blood sacrifice and that would do it. Because they are the true children of God. Even though their bodies were born in sin, they have the true genes from Almighty God. And as Brother Branham said, there will come a day when you will realize you always were saved. Right. Now, shaped in iniquity, comes to the world speaking lies. He's a liar to begin with. No matter how smart, educated, what more, he is a liar. The Bible says he is. How holy his parents were, anything about it, he's a liar. To begin with. In other words, he's born that way. Right. And the only way he can... Now listen. And the only way he can tell, not discern now, not discern it, but to speak it, so that his word is no longer a lie. The only way he can tell the truth is to say what truth is through his own lips. In other words, not by his mind. Now, let's go to Romans, the 10th chapter. I read it many times. Do you read it again? Verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That's bring Christ down above. Or who shall descend to the deep to bring Christ again from the dead? But what does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So what's in your mouth? What Paul preached. What happens to it? Gets down in your heart. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So he tells you how it comes and how it comes back and forth. And your salvation gets deeper and deeper as you express the revealed word of God that's given to you, as it comes out of your mouth, it goes to your mind, down in your heart, and comes up multiplied. In other words, the seed being watered continually begins to produce its flow until rivers of water flow out of our bellies. And everybody wants one great big hallelujah revival experience. Bless God, I thought God took up the root of sin. Hallelujah, so filled with the Holy Ghost. I just couldn't talk tongues and jump and run. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And watch the guy live in sin. Oh, God. No more believe the word than nothing. Vindicator under his nose. Like this guy said back in Georgia one time, Ned Iris and I went to hear Brother Clifton Erickson. And there were some Pentecostals there. And during the time of altar call and all, this guy was back here pounding the chairs and screaming and jumping and hollering. And nobody could hear a thing from all he screaming. Ned went back and he said, Brother, I want to tell you what. He said, there's very serious business going up there by the altar. People are going to come to the Lord. They want to hear the word. He said, now, what you better do? He said, you should stop hollering. He said, bless God, I want to tell you. Boy, he said, hollering the scripture and yelling. So Ned looked and he said, my, he said, no. He said, he said, you're too noisy. You've got to cut the noise. Boy, I want to tell you. I just told you. He said, it's scriptural. What do you mean? Well, it says in Jerusalem, when it was noised abroad, he said, bless God, the Bible says noisy, and I'm going to be noisy. That was his understanding. We walked on. Poor old Clifton had a job. And yet the Presbyterian people that we brought there were getting healing while the Pentecostals were just running and screaming and jumping. I'm not against running, screaming, and jumping. What are you doing it for? What's the point? See? This guy was jumping up and down over his creeds and dogmas and misreading the Word of God entirely when the word noised abroad meant that people carried the message. But he said, noise is noise, bless God, and I'm going to be noisy. Well, that was his destiny. Truth to his own lips. Now listen, that's the only way truth can come. Anything contrary to that word is, he's a liar yet. That's why Paul the Apostle distinctly said, I did not conceive this word. This word was not given to me except by Jesus Christ. I was merely the one here who was given the word to speak it to you. Now, that's pretty flat. But that's what God said. Let every man's word be a lie and mine the truth. That's like about Doc Cash's testimony I gave you last night. See, anything that comes from his lips contrary to deny this word or put it in some other race or some other generation or whatever it is, he's a liar. That's exactly right. He's got to be born again, and then he sees every word. Now, how do you get born again? By the baptism with the Holy Ghost. In other words, you're sealed in, you're renewed, you're watered, you're brought back to God. The only way that he can be born again is that life of God in him to produce that life. In other words, born again simply means something happens to what's in you already from God and gets it moving. Seed of God can't sin. And you don't become seed, you are. I don't care how much a cat wants to be a dog, it'll be a dog. And if the scientists get together and put a dog cat on the earth, it's still a dog cat. It's neither dog or cat. You can't go all the way. There's no such thing as alchemy outside. And there's not even divine alchemy. You show me where God turns a goat to a pig and a horse to a cow. And you show me where he takes the goat and makes it a sheep. Or a dog and makes it a sheep. Or a haint into a saint. You always were. I don't preach what I preach on my own. I preach with Brother Branham. Preaching, he got it from God Almighty. It's proven by the Word. That's what Paul said. Because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit into your heart, whereby you recognize Him and say, Father. Father, you know who your Father is. You're not some hybrid. Some icky-picky mule that doesn't know his mummy and his daddy. He's got no... Who can't come forth. What came forth? It's hybrid and it dies. Oh my, if you can't understand what Brother Brown is saying, original word is spoken words, original seed, just go over it again. That's what Peter said. What does Peter say over here? First Peter. Pardon me. In the first chapter, he says here, seeing you, verse 22, seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. You never get it. The truth could be preached on you and hammered on your head day by day. Without the Holy Spirit being there to illuminate and give it to you, you've got nothing. And if there's nothing inside to receive it, it still doesn't do any good. The best you can do is run and hybridize. Purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Unfeigned love. As Brother Branham said, how can you not help love each other, you that believe this message? Good question. No way. Love one another pure heart fervently. I could stand here and keep you for the next hour and a half just talking about every one of you individually. And showing you positively I love each one of you the same as I love the one you think I love most in this congregation. You know why? Because each of you have your parentage in God. And you have the same nature of God, which you manifest according to what God indicated and then vindicated by going back to your mother and to father and grandfather and great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather and great-great-great-grandfather until he got you just exactly what he wanted to manifest that same nature you all have. Now, two people with great disparity in this church. We're going to have a little not humorous, but we're going to have a little relaxation. I made a statement, and I'll stand with it. If every woman in this world was like two women, Jan White, Georgia Johnson, I'd swear I was in the millennium or stepping into it. Now, you know, they're different. If you know Jan like I know Jan, we're both philosophical. If she finds an article that she knows jibes with my soul in this message, she'll send me that article, and I'll love it. She's a person with tremendous sensibilities and refinement. Her nature is of God. Without belaboring the point, George's nature is of God. But they're two different people entirely. Where one would write a note and be more retiring, but do identically the same thing, because Jan writes me notes and my wife notes. She's always thankful, always gracious. And Georgie gets on the phone. And she makes my day. She bubbles over. She tells me she just couldn't refrain from calling us to see how we are, feel how she was, and tell us she loved us. And she brings us chocolates and different things. I'm not hinting for anything now, Georgie. I'm just telling the truth. Because chocolates aren't good for me. But listen. It's the same nature from the same parentage. But it manifests in two different ways. You can't have Georgia come in the room, but she's got a smile like the sun's going to not only rise, but burn you up. Effervescent. I put it this way. If Jan came in, now this is not nice, but it's the truth. If Jan came in dressed like something from the age of Victoria, and she had a little tea card. And that's nice. I can assure you that Georgia will come in with her card too. Aha! And she has ice cream and pizza. One woman is more colorful than the other in a sense of the word, but they're identical. Now, I can take every woman in this church and do the same thing, and with every man. And I can show you that I can spot every single one of you. And the love that us men really have together surpasses the love for a woman like David and Jonathan, because men and women both love him. Now, you just take that home with you and think about it and sleep on it and believe it. Because you've heard something you never heard in your lives before. And you'll never hear again as far as I'm concerned, because I don't have to tell you. Because I don't speak up here lightly and as a liar. And I need a big shot of my own medicine, because that's what God revealed to my heart. And I can show you the grace of God in Chris White. As I said, he'd hardly be dry behind the ears along some of the people that call them old-timers in this message. And he has far more wisdom and balance. Where did it come from? If you can't recognize God, brother, sister, in this late day, seeing him in his creations, we must never talk about him out there in the lily and in the rose. The morning sun, the evening shadows, the glowing silvery moon. Do you hear his voice in the ripple of waters? It's all just a crass bunch of cruddy poetry that comes from an unregenerate heart. Now, I've ticked myself off this morning, and when I point at you, this thumb doesn't bend too good, but I got three fingers pointing at Lee Vale. Preacher, you better believe what you're talking about, because you know it's the truth. I can take you to the Bible and show you. Because it distinctly talks about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. One has this and one has that, according to the measure of faith. And none is in competition to each other, but each and every single one has its gift from God and operates therein. See, you've got your own true nature, your spirituality, and all these things. If you just look around a little bit, you're going to find that we are on the verge of a love session that many people would want. And they're looking for the hip or all revival. I'm not. I'm looking for just the calmness and God Almighty's own sincerity and assessment in my heart concerning you and the reality of Jesus Christ, not what I think I see in you, not what I want to make out of you, not what I want to do with you as though you're doing something for God, that I might accept him and what he wants out of you and what he wants out of me. I've told you many times I do not ride herd on you. I never go to your homes. I don't look under your bed or in your bed, your refrigerator, anything else. I treated you respect and love as far as I know. Anytime you want an answer, you approach me as a brother in Christ and not as my mentor, which becomes a tormentor, because now you're telling Lee they'll listen to me. I quit the Baptist church because I got hundreds of letters. And I said, if I could hear from God like I hear from the Baptist organization, I'd be the most spiritual man under God's high heaven. Forget it, I walked out. Now, I don't bear my heart on my coat sleeve. I simply, you know. Okay. Now, listen. He said, anything that comes from the lips contrary, deny this word or put in some other race or time. That guy's a liar. That's exactly right. But he's got to be born again. Now, that goes for the seed and non-seed. But it won't go for the non-seed as though the non-seed can be born again. But that lets you know that every single one of us is in that fall. We got from Eve her licentiousness. We got for Adam the permissiveness as though, well, you know, we'll go along with it. But after all, it's my wife, you know, and I got to do so-and-so. When are we going to realize our wives are sisters? Well, that's a good question. When I let my wife know and she finds out I treat her that way, she'll come and tell you. That's right. I treat her pretty well like a sister, but also as a wife. And I admit that most of the time it's a wife rather than a sister. But my Bible says sister and wife. That's a good thought, isn't it? Huh? Start thinking about it, boys. I'm a little too late to think about it, but I can help you to think about it so that you might have a more gracious and wonderful life than I could ever present to him who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, he says the only way you can be born again is that life of God in him to produce that light. A seed must have water to grow. Now, you put a seed in the ground, if there's no moisture in the ground, it's dust, and it won't grow in the dust. It can't. It's got to have a certain percent of moisture, or it won't grow. Is that right? The letter killeth, the spirit gives light. Now, it must have moisture to grow. So, therefore, if you have a word, and the Holy Spirit is not in your heart to receive it, but you receive it anyway, and the Holy Spirit doesn't come upon you to water it. Now look, you've got to have something in there to water. Like Jesus said, you've got no place for my word. What happens? Nothing. So what is Brother Branham telling us? He's telling us that the baptism with the Holy Ghost is simply the Holy Spirit watering the seed in us to bring forth. And he said, I, the Lord, have planted it and watered it, and no man pluck it out of my hand. What's he saying? All that the Father giveth me will come to me, and no man will pluck them out of the hand. What's he talking about? Spoken words, original seed, and the Holy Spirit coming upon it because it is that seed. It's going to be watered and come forth. And that watering is the baptism with the Holy Ghost, which is called rebirth. And when you're reborn, the word body that you bypassed now is commensurate in its own degree and position and promise of God's mind as in his word, so we can bring it all under subjection, but not perfectly, otherwise you would not need an intercessor. As I've said many times, and it's the truth, there's nobody but Jesus ever lived the word. You and I and Paul and Brother Branham, not even Joseph, nobody has and ever will live that word outside of Jesus Christ, but we can believe it. That's what counts. As Dr. Spurgeon said so clearly when he prayed for the sick, he said, it is my job to believe God for the impossible and leave the results unto him. A seed must have water to grow. The letter will only kill. It's got to be watered. That life within us. Now listen, it's as simple as ABC. If you and I are living human beings, can we now take the life of a horse and inject it into us? No. That's why Brother Branham said the animal's blood wasn't sufficient on the grounds that the spirit released could not come back upon the believer, even though under the blood. But now the life released in Christ can come back upon us. Why? Because the seed is there.
And now the water is here. Now listen, and the water is the Spirit that waters the seed to bring it to fruition. Now, waters to the ankle under Luther. Water to the thighs under Wesley. Waters up here to the Pentecostals. But now today, waters, not just to swim in, but to carry us right over. What's it doing to the seed? It's not just germinated now. It's completely materialized to the extent the seed has run out. And we're just waiting for the transfiguration and the transformation. Okay, we can stop right here because whenever I get back, I may never get back. And that just may quit this message and jump to the next set. I don't know what I'm going to do. Because you can tell that it's not easy with the way my throat is and all. So, let's rise and be dismissed. And you have an invitation. Every man over 21, you come here and listen to me and I'll tell you what is actually going on and why my judgments are as they are. I work unilaterally at this particular point. I'm not here to throw mud at anybody. I was going to tell you exactly what's going on. You know. Last night I said you could phone if you want to do. That was just merely to tempt you to see if you'd do it. Well, I don't think anybody should tempt anybody. So, I'm going to withdraw it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we look to you this morning at this time, thanking you again for your word, which we believe the prophet brought vindicated, which we not only believe, we know. Because faith has come to the place where it is no longer faith, which is looking for something, but is the earnest expectation fulfilled, which was the appearing, which nobody knew until you came and the prophet told us. Because nobody can see God. Only the prophet is gifted to see the pillar of fire which envelops our God and to hear his voice. And we're thankful, Lord, that we are believing. Now, Lord God, help us at all time to do what the prophet said concerning this message which he brought us to. There is not one of us who has the truth and can say the truth unless the word of truth, vindicated, we know, has been placed in our mouths. And we recognize it. So it's no longer, what do you think? What does he think? What does she think? What do they think? We know, Lord, as the prophet said, we ain't got a think coming. And that meant William Branham, the same as it meant the Apostle Paul. And that is exactly even what Jesus went through. Because when he came down here, we know, Lord, that he positively said, I only say what my Father tells me to say. No other way. I only tell what I hear him say. And I only do what I see him do. And the prophet said Jesus operated by vision because he was a prophet. And I know many people cannot accept that, but Lord, today I accept it. I believe that people here accept it. It's the truth. Because he was that prophet. And here it is again in the great prophetic office. Ministering under the role of Elijah to the Gentiles. The book of Malachi. Same pillar of fire that brought the word is here revealing it. It gave it to Paul. And we know it has to be, Lord, because Paul himself said in that day, the people will believe. And that's the separator. And that's the word of truth. Father, we appreciate the fact you didn't only vindicate Paul, you vindicated Brother Branham. So now we have a double vindication. And we know, Lord, if any man accepts the vindication of Paul and turns down the vindication of a prophet coming, because it would take a prophet, according to Acts 2, Acts 3, right down the line, then surely that man could not be under the blood, Lord, and sanctified. So, Father God in heaven, we come this far, and though our hearts at times may feel vacant and void, they may not feel as people call your presence. My heart, Lord, that you know and I know, has nothing to do with your presence. You are here. That has been proven. As Brother Branham said, what you cannot see with your natural eye, I tell you by vision he is here. And Father, it's proven. So, Lord, that word's in our mouths, going down into our hearts, meditated in our minds, spoken through the lips, down in the heart,
enlarged and clear in the mind. Again now enlarged and spoken through our lips. Down in the heart enlarged again. Growing and growing. Life manifesting. Father, we know that's true. And Lord God, we abide in the truth. We know we're your children. We know your word abides in us. And we know therefore we have eternal life. So bless your people, Lord. Whether we see them next week, the week after, who knows when. And it's up to you, Lord, because I know that I am absolutely expendable. I know that people do not need me. Even, Lord, you do not need me. You could use me. We know, Lord, your law unto yourself, God unto yourself, and you choose to use somebody, a vessel, that is very good, and I would be hopefully willingly yielded to whatever use you may put me to stand those tests and do those things that are required. And these people here, Lord, know in their own hearts, they say the same things concerning themselves. So they might come together as yielded vessels unto you and walk in the holiness of the light of Almighty God to give you glory, Lord, which the cry of our heart is, oh God, can we give you some kind of glory? Can we give back to you something? Is there some way that we could stand here with our hearts, Lord, one with yours? Not ministries. Just hearts one with yours, Lord. To beat as one. That invisible union. Lord, we're satisfied with that. Lord, you know our hearts this morning, that this is the most valuable, wonderful thing we could ever acquire. And we know with that would go waking in your likeness. As Job said, I'll be satisfied to wake in your likeness. You have a desire for the work of your hands, and you call and we answer. Lord, we don't want to wait till then. We want the unity, Lord, with you. Invisible union and with each other. That's all. We've proven all the other things. There's nothing, Lord, we haven't seen. But we're crying for this one thing, Lord. This revival that you gave, Lord, let it come forth into that great manifestation of knowing we're one with you and you one with us and with each other, walking in the light, in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing us from all sin into a fellowship divine. No wonder the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, let's sing Take the Name of Jesus with you. And those that want to stay a while, you can stay with me a while. We won't take too long. Take the name of Jesus.